Braline Marks, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I just have to add my two cents on that song. When I was listening to it, I was, of course, dancing at my desk. These things you should not see. But I thought, like, if Madness, if the 80s ska band Madness were Israeli, that's what they would sound like.
That is so funny. That is so true. I just think it's got such a lovely, upbeat, happy feeling to it.
Absolutely, and I tell you, we could do with some upbeat.
Yeah, it's really been an incredibly difficult 2 days. Definitely an uptick in violence, in terror acts. So can you give us a sense of what has happened over the last 48 hours, please, Rolly?
Yesterday morning, we woke up to news that there had been a car ramming attack just outside the Tachana Rishona in Jerusalem. Many of you will be familiar with that. That's the newly renovated station full of restaurants.
It's not the existing station. It's the first station. It's a place with all, you can go, you can hire bicycles and go all the different restaurants and shops and things like that.
That's the one, very close to the Mandarin Orient, very close to the German Quarter, that area,
right.
Or the German colony. Very trendy, very packed with a lot of people, especially, you know, this time of the year, a lot of tourists, a terrorist rammed his car into 12 soldiers, injuring 11 moderately and one very, very seriously. He then fled the scene and has subsequently been arrested, and the car was recovered close to Bethlehem. A few hours after that, we had news that a border guard had been shot, also moderately injured, just outside Lion's Gate. That's in the old city of Jerusalem. Police acting very, very swiftly on the scene and neutralizing the terrorist. We then got news that the identity of the terrorist was a 45-year-old man from Haifa, an Israeli Arab. The press are saying, you know, he was a convert from Christianity to Islam. And what was very interesting, Howard, is we heard from the leader of the Joint List, which is the predominantly Arab party, Ayman Odeh, saying that he condemned this. He said, you know, any act of protest should be done peacefully. He said he absolutely condemns the use of violence, the use of weapon to attack a fellow Israeli. This is very unusual.
I was just going to say, this is unusual because there's normally silence following this type of attack. And I think that that's very significant and should be applauded because it is important for people to be allowed to protest, and protest is absolutely crucial in any democracy, but it needs to be done peacefully.
Absolutely, and it also gives a little bit of a glimpse into what Arab Israelis are feeling with the Trump peace plan. Many of them are protesting the fact that if the peace plan goes forward as proposed, some of their villages, some of their towns may fall under Palestinian jurisdiction, and there are a lot of protests, very, very interestingly, by Arab Israelis who don't want that. They want to remain in Israel proper. Then later in the afternoon, we had news that there was a shooting attack in Binyamina, very close to the regional council. One soldier was injured, and then a little later, another shooting attack very close to Kalkilia, another soldier injured. So very, very much a targeting of soldiers in these type of attacks. Then we've also had a significant increase over the last week or so in the amount of arson balloons. Earlier this week, Hamas threatening to attach tear gas canisters to these balloons, and they're quite terrifying for our children. On Wednesday, kids at a daycare center in Kiryat Gat had to run for shelter as a cluster of these balloons with an explosive device attached came towards their school. Also yesterday, a lot of rocks being thrown at Israeli motorists, Molotov cocktails being thrown at soldiers, and yesterday news that one of the terror balloons had landed very close to Netiv HaAsara, which is right on the border with Gaza, and set fire to some of the fields there. The IDF are working round the clock using their new laser technology to try and shoot down these projectiles that come through. This is the latest kind of invention to deal with with the arson balloons, with Molotov cocktails, also with mortars, because mortars are low range when they are shot into Israeli territory. So this is the new technology that is being used in conjunction with the Iron Dome. And because of the escalation in the south, more Iron Dome batteries have been rolled out across the south.
Roland, just a question of for clarification. One of our listeners saying, is the Haifa person correlated to the Lion's Gate attack or the ramming?
The Lion's Gate attack. We don't have the identity made public yet. Oh, my English this morning, guys. We don't have the identity of the car ramming. He is in custody. They know his identity, but it hasn't been made public. But the Arab Israeli from Haifa, that's the Lion's Gate attack.
Right. And can you just try and give me some context of this bromance that seems to be developing between Ehud Olmert and Mahmoud Abbas? This is odd, isn't it?
Well, I tell you who's not happy about this, Howard, is Jared Kushner. I mean, yesterday...
yes, I think his response saying it's pathetic is kind of what sums it all up.
And you're just jealous. Mm-hmm. But let's take a look at it. Yesterday it was announced that former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas will be holding a joint press conference next week. This was reported by Israel's Channel 12. We don't know when and we don't know where. We just know the two of them seem to have some kind of bromance happening. And Jared Kushner is not happy about it. He says, you know, it's almost pathetic, and I'll quote him directly. He says, it's almost pathetic that they are criticizing other people's efforts to try and reach an agreement. It comes from a lot of jealousy that they couldn't do it themselves. Well, I don't know about the jealousy on Mahmoud Abbas's part. He just flatly refuses to acknowledge any peace process, you know, and one of the reasons that we are seeing a significant increase in violence is because of Abbas's basically allowing, even calling for objection to the peace plan, and of course Hamas calling for a revolution and praising what they call the revolution that took place yesterday. But Olmert is the great enigma, Howard, and Kushner says if you really want to make peace, then you need to encourage the efforts of other people to try and make peace instead of trying to make headlines when you are not relevant and intervening in the situation.
Wow.
To get attention. It's like almost like reality TV.
This is incredible. But what is Ehud Olmert's story here? Surely engaging in peace, no matter what, sitting down around a table trying to find a solution is a heck of a lot better than not.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it baffles the mind because Olmert was one of the previous administrations that offered greater portions of the land to the Palestinians and should know from experience what it's like to have your offer met with a resounding no. And, you know, many of us are saying it's fine to object to the terms of the Trump peace plan. You know, bavakasha, you know, have your say. But bring something to the table. Bring your own proposal, bring your own objections. Do something that enables you to sit down at the table and say, right, these are our objections. This is what we would like. Let's start negotiating. Let's start talking. Instead of acting like, disgruntled toddlers, throwing your toys and calling for your opposition to be manifested in violence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Was there a response back from Olmert? Is Olmert relevant today? Where is he? What is he about? What is he doing? How does he keep busy?
Well, you know, first of all, he's freshly released from the Kele, from jail. He almost spent time in the clink for corruption, which, people are saying should put him rightly at home with Abbas.
and perhaps maybe he shouldn't talk so much, but nevertheless.
Yeah, Howard, those in concrete houses with bars shouldn't throw stones. But... But he is largely irrelevant, and I think this is his bid to try and gain some attention by objecting to the peace plan. It's most Israeli pundits are seeing this as quite pathetic on the part of Olmert.
And finally, I think the most wonderful, wonderful story, and that is Israel chose her representative for Eurovision 2020. Tell us about this.
Yes. Well, we've chosen our very first Ethiopian Israeli representative. It is 19-year-old Eden Allen. She was one of the winners of The Voice. Now, if you've ever been to Israel, you will know that there are two things that are absolutely, well, three things that are absolutely sacrosanct. Soccer or football, whatever you call it. Basketball, although Howard, I don't know where we find people tall enough. Maybe we have to import them. And singing competitions. So whether it is Kochav Nolad, A Star Is Born, or the X Factor, commonly known as X Factor, or The Voice, these singing competitions are very, very popular. And of course, there's the holy grail of all singing competitions, which is Eurovision. And it's quite bizarre because until you've lived here, I mean, what do we know about Eurovision, Howard? You know,
no, it's only the Australians being part of Europe, but the rest of us don't have a clue.
We don't have a clue. And it's, you know, it's an absolute annual cheese fest, but one that is considered, you know, quite important, quite holy for Israelis. So we have Eden, who won The Voice, her rendition of Beyoncé's Halo. I mean, if you've heard her singing Halo, you'll know she has a massive voice, tiny, tiny, tiny lady with a massive, massive, massive voice. She sang Halo, and that won her the position of representing Israel at Eurovision. My worry, Howard, though, is like the level of cheese she's going to have to sing.
Look, last year's entrance, really, I wanted to get behind it. I just couldn't get there. So I'm hoping that she will do very well. And she's amazing. I think her mother, single mom from Ethiopia, and I mean, an amazing story.
It's an extraordinary story. She was born and raised in Jerusalem and now lives in Kiryat Gat. Her parents divorced. She was 4 years old, and she hasn't had any contact with her father. And apart from being a prolific singer, she's also a ballet dancer and moved from a religious school. Many of the immigrants from Ethiopia are quite religious. In fact, some of the issues that the Ethiopian community faces is kind of coming from a very religious, very contained community in Ethiopia to Israel, where there's just, you know, there's so much diversity in how you express your religion, and it's something that many Olim who've come from very religious communities struggle with. And she moved from her religious school to a more secular one, and studies theater and is taking voice lessons. But if you've heard her sing, I don't think she needs many lessons.
Absolutely incredible. I think she has a very real chance of winning, depending obviously on the song choice. Does she get a say in that?
I'm not sure if she gets a say, but what makes her even more special is that not only is she an IDF soldier, so she has to take time out of her service, but she also is part of a choir at the YMCA in Jerusalem, a mixed Arab and Israeli teens. So she's really so symbolic of modern Israel, of, you know, what is possible when you live in Israel. She's somebody I think who will make us extraordinarily proud. I just like a big of Eurovision organizers, please find her a really, really hot song to sing. Nothing cheesy, guys.
Yeah, I worry, Rolene, I worry.
I worry too, Howard.
Time is about to go, 8 o'clock, and that's your Israel Report with Rolene Marks. Thank you, as always, and we'll catch you next week. Have a fantastic weekend, and, of course, a peaceful and Shabbat Shalom.